The fact is, he forgot the offering. That's what happened. We like to mix it up every now and then. That was a good excuse. It's been nice having David on staff these number of years. But what pastor forgets the offering? Yeah, I have, though. I know what that's like. Thanks for your generous giving, and thanks for coming and being a part of today. And I mentioned it at during our 9:30 gathering. I'll say it again. If you're here and you've brought children and students, man, thank you so very, very much. And I do say that, I think, fairly often, because it really comes from the very deep of my heart, because you do something that some of us no longer have to do. You know, those of us who are empty nesters, and I know that there are parents here today praying for that day, I'm sure. But thanks for going through the extra work of being here and so on. Okay, if you got your smartphone or your tablet, get ready to go. Do a couple things. Number one, go to YouVersion Live if you have that downloaded and all the teaching notes are there. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, Gateway gives away free Bibles. And they're in the lobby. So if you don't own a Bible, grab one out there. If you're a small group leader and someone in your group doesn't have a Bible, be sure to grab them one. But grab your smartphone, grab your tablet. I'm going to ask you to tweet something here in just a minute. If you're on Twitter, Facebook, post update or email something is what we're talking about today. I'm interested in the response, how people respond. Here it is right here, what matters most. That's what we're talking about today, and that's what I want us to kind of think about, kind of get our minds around just this one thing. What is it that matters most? And I suspect when you put that out there, like I've already done this week, at least the thoughts, very thoughts, are going to be generated by those who read it. Because what matters most is this, and what matters most is this, and what matters most sometimes is dependent upon our present circumstance, and so that will drive a response to that. But that's what we're talking about. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever received a letter where you've wondered what's behind that? Anyone? Have you ever received an email when you've wondered what's behind that? Have you ever received a text when you go, whoa, what's behind that? And maybe it's more like, ouch, what's behind that? Or maybe it's like, what's behind that? And you've kind of wondered, what's behind that? When Jen and I were married, it's been a few years ago now, we received a wedding card. And it caused me to stop and go, well, what's behind that? Now, it's not like I'm bitter or anything. I just haven't forgotten it for 41 years, okay? But we got this card. And before we even opened up, I thought, what's that all about? Because on the outside, here's what was written. Jen and Tom. That wasn't so bad, but it was Jen, underline, 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 and Tom. And so I developed this thinking that I don't even know if it's true, but I wonder what's behind that. It's like, congratulations, Jen and Tom. Or it was more like, so happy for you, Jen, underline, 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 bug off, Tom. You know what I mean? So it was like, Jen, we love you, we love you, we love you. Sorry you're stuck with Tom, you know. So like, what's behind that, right? So what's kind of behind all of that? Well, go to the book of Philippians, and if you're not sure where that's at, go to like the center of your Bible and just cut right, okay? And you're going to find it. It's just a short little book, 4 chapters, Galatians, Ephesians, okay? And you're going to be right there, or your smartphone, your tablet. Look up the book of Philippians and just kind of get there. We'll be there in just a moment. But as one reads Philippians, just 4 chapters, remember the chapter designations are for our benefit. But as you read this letter to the church in Philippi, we can stand back and go, I wonder what's behind that. What's up with that? What's behind that letter? You see, the book of Philippians, or this letter to the church in Philippi, has been called the Treatise on Joy. Treatise on Joy. It's written from a happy place. Now, some of you are going, like, what is it that you're talking about? And the reason you're saying that is because you read the book. I didn't say it was written from a happy situation or a happy circumstance. It's written from a happy place, and that's what we're talking about today. Philippians have been called this treatise on joy. Now, context is really, really important. That is the point of view that something is written or shared. The perspective, the point of view. Context is critical, and so I want to talk about that for just a moment. But let me illustrate it this way. If I come to you from a perspective of my life has been perfect. In fact, my life has been so perfect, I've never experienced challenges in life or any wrongdoing at all. It's been perfect. My mother, God bless her, raised the perfect child. Yeah, wow, or wow, yeah. Mom raised the perfect child, and my life has been perfect, and I found the perfect wife. I won't go on, okay. So and with my perfect wife, we never argue. We never fight. We have never had a disagreement in 40 plus years of marriage. It's a perfect marriage, and during our times of disagreement, we've discovered that Jen's been wrong and it's been perfect and all of that. And we have birthed perfect children. Perfect children. So like you parents that have challenges with your kids, those have been absent from our life. I mean, we've had perfect kids who have always responded with yes, mom, and yes, dad. And, you know, they never missed a day of school. They never skipped out of school. They never failed a grade. We never got notes home from the school. None of that, because we have perfect kids. And, of course, I have perfect grandkids. That is true, that one right there. Perfect grandkids. And I've never had financial challenge in my life. And I've never had sorrows in my life. I've never been in that place where I've had a sense of hopelessness. And if I taught from that point of view, or if we talked from that point of view, or if you did, it impacts the person hearing that message. Now, you're either going to go, uh-huh, sure, you're a liar. Or, you know, that's a life that is just unheard of. Point of view or perspective is really, really important. So what do we do when we talk about perspective when we come to a book like Philippians? First of all, we should all be really, really glad that, it's what I love about Gateway, is that we're all imperfect. We all come together here. And we make up this faith community, and we're imperfect, thankful for what Jesus has done in our life, but trying to figure out how to do life sometimes and how to do that together. And that's a great place to be. But I want to take a look at the perspective or the point of view that Paul writes this letter that's been called this Trees of Joy, and how it is, I can say, he comes from a really happy place, but I'm not talking about the situation or the circumstance. And so let's take a look at it for just a few moments. Paul writes to Philippi, and he's writing 10 years after the birth of the church. So when we read these four chapters in Philippians right here, we're reading a letter that's written 10 years after the birth of the church in Philippi. 10 years, maybe 11 years, 10 to 11 years. And we go to Acts chapter 16 to read about the birth of this church. So go to Acts chapter 16 and just slide down to verses 13 and 14. And while you're getting there, just let me share just a couple verses right before that. So Acts chapter 16, verse 12, and then we'll get to verse 13 and 14. Or verse number 11. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi. Okay? The Philippian church, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we stayed there several days. Philippi was a Roman colony. Now, while they're there, this is what we read. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. So get that picture in your mind. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. Now, let me build the context here. Paul arrives on the Sabbath. We went outside the city to a riverbank where we thought there would be some people praying. Let me just tell you what that's all about right there. We can draw the picture. It was necessary, and evidently, Philippi had a very small Jewish population. There were not enough men to form a synagogue. The requirement was for 10 Jewish men who were heads of a household to form a synagogue. Absent of that, what had to be arranged was a place of prayer under the open sky, by the sea, or a river. So, when Paul arrives, there is no synagogue. He knew that there had to be some meeting for prayer in the open sky, by the sea, or by a riverbank. So, he went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. Now, why did they have to form a prayer meeting under the open sky and specifically by a sea or by the riverbank? Is that interesting to you? I have no clue. Don't know. And we really don't know because sources really don't say, but that's where they were meeting. Now, three things about kind of that little prayer meeting and that setting right there, because here's where we read the first convert of the church in Philippi. So remember, when we read Philippians, that letter's written 10 years later, and now we're reading about the birth of this church that Paul 10 years later writes this letter to, the birth of the church, and here's the first convert in Philippi. It's a gal named Lydia, who worshiped God and was a merchant of expensive purple cloth. Now, number one, a worshiper of God was just a term that was used for Gentiles, but even though worshiper of God, she had not crossed that line of New Testament faith. She had not come into the body of Christ. So she was not a believer, but she was termed a worshiper of God. So she was in need of crossing that line of faith, and that's why it says the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. Number two, about this first convert, Lydia. She was a merchant of purple cloth. That means the sister had some bling bling. I mean, she had some stuff, and she had some money, and sources seem to indicate that because of her position financially, she was able to actually resource the church here in Philippi that was now birthed. And then the members of her house, in verse number 15, we read in the next verse, referring to servants and so on, in a large house and so on, that she could actually invite this team over. So she urged the missionary party to stay at her larger home, which they did. And it was from here, these small beginnings, that the church in Philippi is born. Now, fast forward 10 to 11 years, okay? 10 to 11 years, and Paul is writing this letter, this book of Philippians, this letter that we read. The church is well established, and that's indicated in the opening verse, 1 verse 1, where he's writing to the elders and the deacons of Philippi. Now, I mentioned to you that point of view or perspective is really, really important. I mentioned to you that this book that's called The Trees on Joy is written from a happy place, but I didn't say a happy circumstance or a happy situation. Paul finds himself in prison, facing a trial that would bring life or death. It's from that place that he writes this letter. And suddenly, this treatise on joy, these four chapters, take on a whole new perspective, don't they? Paul is writing from a circumstance in life that none of us would want. He's in jail. He's in prison. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. But he writes from a happy place, not a happy circumstance. What's behind this letter? Just listen to the tone of this letter that he writes to this now established church when we consider what matters most. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he says this, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or what?" Say it, die. "For to me, living means living for Christ and dying even better." That's perspective. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is better, whether I live or die. That's perspective. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. What did Paul once think was valuable? If you go to Philippians chapter 3, and you just back up a couple of verses, here's what he says in verse number 5. These are the things he considered valuable. These are the things he considered mattered the most. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. And then he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. I once thought that these were the things that mattered most. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He's writing from a brand new perspective, a brand new point of view. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus has done. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. Now remember, he's writing from where? Prison. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And this prisoner, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. That's perspective. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. From this man in prison, don't worry about anything. Write. You know, let me just stop right there for a second. Don't worry about anything, instead of pray about everything. That's what this man in prison is saying. He's writing from a point of view. He's a prisoner. And he's saying, don't worry about anything. Just pray. If you're in his position, what are you worried about? Getting out? If you're confined and what is it that you're worried about? Let me ask you this. What is it that you're worried about right now? Paul says, look, don't worry about anything, and just pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace that exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're someone who underlines and you circle, you highlight those last three words, live, or those last four words, live in Christ Jesus, as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means. Living is the place that we occupy. This is important now. Living is the place that we dwell in. Living is our forever home. Let me say it that way. It's not a place that we go in and out of. As we live in Christ Jesus, as we occupy, as we dwell in our forever home, which is Christ Jesus. See, sometimes we fall in this trap of, I'll just give it a 30-day try. I'm in this circumstance right now, God, but I'm going to give this 30 days, and we'll see how it works out. That's in and out. That's in and out. Our forever home, living in Christ Jesus, that's perspective. Let me give you just kind of a brief summary of this letter that's filled with joy, because Philippians can also be called a resource on suffering. It's been called that. So on this hand, we got this book of joy, and on this hand, we got resources on suffering to take us through suffering. Yes, because this book is all about Christ in our life, Christ in our mind, Christ is our goal, Christ is our strength, and joy through suffering. This prisoner of Nero, Paul, writes this letter and is filled with triumph, joy, and suffering. That's the point of view, that's the perspective that he's writing to this church in Philippi. Here's a prayer for all of us as Jesus followers. Just let me give it to you. Our prayer is that what's seen in us, whatever circumstance that we may be in right now, our prayer is that the life and the nature and the mind of Christ be seen in us and through us. Here's what I'd like for you to do in this moment. Write a mental letter. Just write a mental letter. Based on where you are now, the circumstance maybe that you're in. You go, I'm not in a happy place. Do you know Jesus? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God will flood your mind and your heart and your soul. Write a mental letter right now. What's behind it? It's interesting to me that Paul is writing 10 or 11 years after the birth of the church from prison. It's interesting to me that the church in Philippi also was birthed in a prison experience. Lydia came to faith. If you read through Acts chapter 16 and just a few verses down, here's what you discover. That Paul and Silas were traveling one day, and the Bible says as we were going down to the place of prayer, down to that place, we were met with a demon-possessed slave girl. And this demon-possessed slave girl just day after day, day after day, day after day, just bugged them till Paul finally got fed up. And he turned and he commanded the demon to come out, and it did. Problem with that was this, that it dried up all the financial resources of this demon-possessed girl's boss. That resulted in a riot and in a mob. And in verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. Church of Philippi is being birthed now. The jailer ordered them was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. So there they were. Around midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors were wide open. He assumed the prisoners had what? Escaped. And so he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted, "Don't do that, don't kill yourself, we're all here." And the jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The church, the beginnings of the church. I just want us to just stop and think about what took place there. We're talking about Paul writing from a happy place. He's in prison again. Now we're looking at the early days of this church. Lydia comes to faith, and here he's it's birthed in prison. He's gotten beaten. They're in stocks. They're in the inner dungeon. And you know what you don't hear? You don't hear yelling at God. You don't hear a demand that I get out of prison right now. God, you got to get me out of this place. Here's what you hear. Hymns and prayers and singing. And the others were listening. Now listen, that was all pre-earthquake. That's the important part. That's all pre-earthquake. You see, I highly doubt that God whispered into Paul's ear and said, "Look, hang in there. Just be a little bit. Just wait and see what's going to happen." I said, Paul wrote that letter from a happy place, not necessarily what we would consider a happy circumstance, because his faith and trust was in God. The church is birthed in a prison experience. And pre-earthquake, pre this incredible miracle that took place, what are they doing? Hymns and prayers being lifted to God. Let me just kind of toss something in here on the side. All of us want to see a miracle. None of us want to be in a position to need one. We all want to see a miracle, but none of us want to be in a position to need one. Think about that. Paul and Silas in prison were simply saying in their actions, in their voices, our life is in your hands. And as a result of what mattered most to Paul and Silas, the jailer and his entire family come to faith. And so Paul opens up this book that we're studying over the next number of weeks in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, and he says this, I want you to understand what really matters. Let's not forget the context. Let's not forget the point of view. This is a guy from prison saying, I want you to understand what really matters. Think about you're writing a letter to someone you love and that you care about. You don't know if you're going to live or die. What is it that you're going to write? And Paul says, I want you to understand what really, really matters. That you live a pure and blameless life until the day of Christ returns. That you're able to discern the things that take you away from living a pure and blameless life. You see, the fact is we get pulled in all kinds of directions, don't we? It's true that every one of us gets pulled this way with what matters most from this voice over here. We get pulled this way from what matters most by this voice over here. And what we're reminded today is that what matters most is what Jesus has done for you and Jesus has done for me by his grace. And we have the privilege of worshiping him, of gathering in this place around his throne and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done. That's what matters most. So I have a question for us to respond to, and says, what really matters to you today? What is it that really matters to you? So when you've come into this place and you sat down, what's on your mind, what's on your heart? What is it that really, really matters? See, some of us, what matters most today are financial standing. And we've been tugged this way. And honestly, those desires are not godly. I thank God for his blessing. I thank God for his provision and all of that. But what matters the most to us, is it that financial paycheck? And that's what drives us? Some of us are driven by what matters most, and we've been dragged over this way because it's our career, it's our standing in the world, it's all of those things. Some of us are hanging on to something that looks like and sounds like revenge, or maybe there's been a bit of bitterness that's set into our life, and what matters most is that we get back at that person. Ouch. Have you ever, don't answer, have you been there? We all can relate to that, can't we? Because right now in that moment, because in this situation, that's the only thing that matters most. But Jesus wants to come in and set us free from all that. Set us free from the circumstance so that we can live in the freedom and the abundant life that he has for each one of us. When I say abundant life, I'm not talking about financial prosperity, because I think one of the teachings that we hear out there, the prosperity doctrine, is not of God. I'll just say it that way. I'm talking about the abundant life that allows us to live freely before him with peace that comes not from our own understanding, but from him alone. That's the abundant life. And so that's why Paul writes from a happy place. Not a happy situation or circumstance, from a happy place, because his trust was in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. And here's what I'm going to ask us to do. I'm going to invite us to pray. And I'm going to invite us to open up our heart to Jesus today. And lift that question to him. What is it that matters most to me, God? What matters most? What might be hindering me from living the life that Jesus has for us? And for some of us, what we're going to say is, God, here it is right here. So what's mattered most to me is this drive to be financially successful. And somehow, some way, God, you've taken a back seat, or you've taken second. or maybe what's driven you, what matters most is this thing that's gotten a hold of your heart, and it's not right, and it's not good. And Jesus wants to bring freedom to you. If you've been at Gateway long, you know I've said this before. I'll say it again today, that when we open our heart up to the Lord, up to God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it's called conviction. And sometimes that doesn't feel too good. So we go, oh, man, that hurts. Like, God, you're touching that spot on my heart. But rather than push it away like we sometimes do because it doesn't feel good, let's embrace that, because that's God speaking to you, and he's speaking to me, saying there's something between you and me that's hindering you from becoming all that I want for you, to walk in that freedom, to walk in that abundant life that I have for you. So let's stand together, shall we? Listen, do you believe that Jesus wants us to live in joy? Yeah, he does. Do you believe that Jesus wants us to live in peace that goes beyond our understanding? We can't figure it out, but it comes from him. Yes, he does. So let's offer up anything that is hindering that, shall we? And let's find ourselves in that place that what matters most is Jesus. Father, well, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us right now. I thank you, God, for the freedom that we can walk in. I thank you, Jesus, that as we leave this place, we do so living in the grace, the power, the freedom that only a life found in you can ever experience. I thank you, Jesus, that we can leave this place completely and totally at peace. It goes beyond our understanding, because our life is solidly rooted in you and who you are. Now, God, I know that there are things that come our way and they seek to pull us away towards things that matter according to someone else's standard, or maybe the place that we have found our own selves. But Jesus, in this moment, what matters most is a life found in you. So right now, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and listen, what is it that he's just asking you to release? For some of you, it's finances. So let's release that. And trust that Jesus will provide for us, but it's the thing that has driven us. For some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, maybe anger has settled in, and what matters most, that just that thought and just that idea of I've got to restore things. I've got to do it, and we're going to give that up to Jesus today. Maybe it's a career, and what's mattered most is just a drive for status. God, you're speaking to us right now, because what matters most is you and a life in you and the expansion of your kingdom and people coming to faith and trust in you. That's what matters most. And I pray, Lord, that would settle deep into our hearts and would be the thing that we would take with us today. We give all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And your grace is enough. And your grace is enough. And your grace is enough for me. And your grace is enough. And your grace. Your grace is enough for me. And your grace is enough. And your grace is enough. And your grace. Thank you.
Father, that's our prayer to your grace is enough for me. We thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the gift of salvation, the freedom that we can walk in today. Your grace is enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, next week, we'll be diving in just a little bit. For I told the 9:30 gathering that we were talking about patience next week, but we're not doing that. I messed up. You know what we're talking about next week? Do you want to know? Okay, so promise you come. How many have ever dealt with pride? All of us, two hands up. That's what we're talking about next week. So now I gotta like tell the 9:30 crowd, like, I gotta get rid of all the pride. I told you wrong, I steered you wrong, you know. So we're talking about that next thing. Go to the book of Philippians, 4 chapters, that's all. Read through it this week and just let the word of God just kind of settle on. If you're here, you need prayer, you're kind of dealing or struggling in some of these areas that we talked about letting go. Let's be sure to pray together, okay? God bless you. See you next Sunday, and have a great week.